Okay, I think we are ready to get started. If I could just get that first slide up behind me, I want to introduce you guys to a member of our family, well, a former member of our family that you probably never met this little one before, but I want to introduce you to Rabbi. Now Rabbi was my little Sienna's comfort toy. She was discovered over in France on one of Tasha's colleagues' trips over there and brought back and presented to Sienna as a gift when she was a baby. Now, Rabbi went everywhere with her. Sienna used to suck on its face and on its ears. Rabbi went everywhere with us. Sienna wouldn't let her out of her sight. Sienna couldn't sleep at night without her. She would go on play dates. She would go down the park. She would go to Nonnie and Poppy's place. Basically, Rabbi was Sienna's best friend, and she went absolutely everywhere with her. Until the night we went to put Sienna to bed, and we started to look for Rabbi, and we couldn't find her. Oh, this happens quite regularly, so go for a lookout in the car. Maybe it was at our last trip where we went, oh, Rabbi's not there. So we'd search her bedroom, we'd do a thorough check of the entire house, and that feeling creeps over you like, oh, Rabbi's lost. So then we start backtracking. Was it Mother's group? She came back with us from that. And when we went to the park, I'm pretty sure Rabbi came back with us. And then it dawned on me that Rabbi was probably at the shops. See, we'd just been at Whitford City and it's 8:45 at night and I'm thinking to myself, the shop shut pretty soon. So I scream down there in an absolute panic. Tash is still trying to comfort Sienna in her bed while she's going, where's my Rabbi? And so there I am like a madman running from shop to shop as people are pulling their doors down, stopping people, looking in Pumpkin Patch and peering through the window of Bras and Things while these young girls are looking at me funny. And I'm like, okay, she's not in the shops. So I grab one of the cleaners and I start to ask her, have you seen this? It wouldn't look like much. It would look just like a rag. And so she's on the walkie-talkie calling through. And then I thought to myself, if it is a rag, and if someone did think it was rubbish, it's probably in one of these bins. So you know what happens next. I'm there digging around in these bins trying to find Rabbi because I knew that Rabbi was so connected to my daughter's heart that I could not leave this place without her. I'm quite dejected. I didn't find her. I cleaned up and I drove home. And I got to say, there was nothing short than absolute fear inside me having to walk in and tell a sleep-deprived mum that I couldn't find Rabbi. As I pull on the handbrake, my finger brushed something next to me. And I looked down and between the seat was this mangy, sucked, disgusting brown piece of fur. And my heart absolutely leapt with joy as I pulled this thing out and Rabbi, who had been lost, had been found again. I took her inside to see the joy and cherished love on Sienna's face as she got to embrace her and she got to cuddle her and go to sleep that night in the loving arms of her master. As we come to our text this morning, what we're going to discover is the parable of the lost sheep. Man, that rabbit did my head in. I've jumped the fence at Coorong looking for that rabbi after they locked up at night. I've gone to people's houses. I've gone to the park. I've done all sorts of dumb things trying to chase that rabbi down and get it back into the arms of Sienna. So I want to open up to Matthew 18 verse 10 this morning. If you have your Bibles with us, turn there with me. It's up on the screen. I'm going to read it for you. "See that you don't look down on one of these little ones, because I tell you that in heaven their angels continually view the face of my Father in heaven." Now, this is important. We'll come back to that later. Verse 11, "For the Son of Man has come to save the lost." What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, won't he leave the 99 on the hillside and go and search for the stray? And if he finds it, I assure you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. In the same way, it is not the will of your Father in heaven that one of these little ones perish. Father God, we open the scriptures, we see these words directly from Jesus' mouth. It's a parable about lost sheep. It's a reflection on lost people, gone astray, and your love for us, and that you are a pursuing God, and that you draw us back. You draw us back. You draw us back. You go, and you save us and bring us back into the fold. God, let us be of open hearts and minds this morning as we plumb the depths of your word to see how much you care for the lost and how much you will pursue us to bring us back in. In your precious name we pray, amen. I did a very painful thing yesterday. I hit delete on most of my message and started again, because I had got stuck on, like, looking back at the social constructs of the Jewish people and what this parable meant, and the lost sheep of Israel and how that reflected back then and how that can be applied to us. It's important that we get context. It's important that we get the historical meaning, and we can look at the Bible back then and what it means to us today. But I feel like in all of that, God just said to me yesterday, "You've lost the heart of what this is all about." He said, get real with encounter this morning. And he brought up a few thoughts in my mind, and as I just hit the reset button and just refreshed my view of what I was looking at, I saw a beautiful father that was willing to go to such lengths to save his lost sheep. And I just want to come back to that this morning. I want to start by flicking to the next slide. I feel like I've shared this story here before, but I'm going to share it again because it means so much to me. The story begins down in Busselton. We decided with friends of ours that our day trip was going to be the Busselton Jetty. For those of you who don't know, it's like one of the longest jetties in the world. It goes for over a kilometre. You walk this thing, there's a train that goes up the middle of it, and there's vast sections of it where that railing actually it runs out, and you're just walking along about nearly a K out to sea with no protection to the left or to the right. We go out there with both of our families. There's five kids to watch over, but we're used to doing this, and we've done it 100 times, and we explore. It's great. We have a great time. It's time to turn around and go back. And someone says, "Where's Amelia?" I'm going to get emotional thinking about this. It was the most haunting moment of my life. And I'm not one to just spring into immediate damage control. I'm pretty cool when it comes to crisis. And so I go, "Well, she's out here somewhere." At the end of the pier, there's like a little aquarium. So I go, "You know what? She's probably just snuck in there, past the ticket booth, and gone downstairs to look at." And so I wander in there and I just ask the guy, "Oh, hey, look, we're looking for a little girl. She's gone missing." And he goes, "I'll go check for you." So while I'm waiting for that, go over. The train had come up at that stage and it was about to ding the bell and go back again. So we just thought, I wonder if that cheeky little one has snuck onto this train. And so we've gone and had a look through the carriages and I couldn't see it. I couldn't see her. At this point, the guy comes back to me and says, oh, she's not downstairs. And I get this feeling in the pit of my stomach like the worst thoughts came into my mind. My friend was a step ahead of me and he was looking over the edge of the pier. It was a blustery day and I saw what he was doing and I ran to the edge thinking the worst and looking out and going, I've got to jump in. I can't see her anywhere. But my only thought is that she's gone in and I've just got to do anything to try and get her back. Tash had gone in the opposite direction and was running to the shore down the pier. And I got the best phone call of my life. Tash calls us halfway back there and says, I found her. And I honestly crashed to the floor. I think you can see just from the emotion I'm feeling right now that it was the worst experience of my entire life, thinking that I'd lost my daughter. I remember sitting down and having just this flush of, I went completely pale. I felt sick to my stomach, like I was going to vomit. And my mate just sat next to me with his hand around me, knowing that she was safe, but just thinking, oh my gosh, what could have been? Is this real enough for you? Changed what I was going to speak about this morning because I think God's heart for the lost is like mine when I thought Amelia was gone. I don't think he's up there in heaven, Jesus by his side, nonchalantly thinking, oh, well, we missed that one. His heart breaks for people that have wandered away, for people that have strayed. And this parable that Jesus tells is not a casual wander off or a safe stroll for the sheep on the mountainside. There's wolves out there. It's rocky. There may not be food to eat. It is dry and arid. The lost sheep isn't just chilling like the sound of music on a hillside singing songs, but this sheep is lonely and afraid. And out there on their own. And for you and me, we look out there, oftentimes they don't even know it. People that are far off from God don't even know they're lost. Isn't that sad? You know what's sadder? We don't like talking about this, but separation from God, if you stay out there long enough and God says, give me back my breath, means an eternity separated from God. Let's get real again this morning, church. It means an eternity in hell. An eternity in torment. An eternity in pain and suffering. God wants us to grasp an understanding that he says, I wish that no one would perish. How's this? 2 Thessalonians 1:8-9 says, he will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of God, of the Lord, and from the glory of his might. That's the reality, church, of wandering away, of straying. I feel like a lot of us have been in that situation before. I know I just received an email last night challenging me to practice what I preached this morning. It was from a girl that I know who sent me an email titled, "A former friend of yours that is considering changing her faith in Jesus." And she went on to say, "These are all my wrestles. This is all the struggle that I have with this God that we know. And I just can't do it anymore. I don't think I believe it. I want to believe something different." And God's saying, "Go after that lost sheep, Troy." You see, I changed what I was preaching about yesterday because I thought the essence of it was about lost souls that have never known Jesus. But God actually showed me that I was actually putting an interpretation on the word that wasn't even there. He's saying it's the 100 that knew God and one has wandered off. And it changed my perspective of this scripture. In fact, if we look through the Gospels of John, it actually talks about the parable of the lost sheep. It talks about the parable of the lost coin, and it talks about the parable of the lost son as three examples of where there was, it was part of the community and it is no longer. So what dawned on me is this is a story about someone who's known God and is now choosing to walk the ways of the world. It's actually this community that we're being in, being so close that we know each other so intimately, that when one person starts pursuing the pleasures of this world, you're a good enough friend to stand next to him and say, "I don't think that's a good idea to walk on that hillside." When someone says, "I'm thinking of ending my marriage," you say, "Can we talk about that? I can't leave you there." When someone says, "Oh, look at my work. I'm just going from strength to strength to strength. Oh, look at all the money I'm making. Look at this, look at this." And we realize that they've taken their focus of making Jesus their Lord and Savior. That you say, "Do you think we've got a little bit off track?" I'm not even following my notes anymore. If we go a little bit deeper into this text, we recognize that that start where I said that guardian angel bit that I said we're coming back to, did you know that this scripture where Jesus says, "See that you don't look down on one of these little ones, because I tell you that in heaven their angels continually view the face of my Father in heaven." If you receive the Lord Jesus into your soul, this is the first of only two references in the New Testament where he says you have a guardian angel. You have someone that is interceding on your part in heaven, someone that's there to guide you and protect you. We all know the Holy Spirit does that, but he actually gives us guardian angels to help in that task as well. Jesus goes on to say at the end of this, "In the same way, it's not the will of your Father in heaven that one of these little ones will perish." I'm building a case for how much God loves us right now. The second thing I notice about God is that this God is, it's a verse about a pursuing God. He leaves the 99. He's happy that we're all here. He's happy that we come and we get to engage with a community of believers and we get to celebrate our Lord and Savior here. But it actually says he rejoices more over the one sheep that comes back than the 99 that went astray. He rejoices more over the one that comes back. The third conclusion I draw from this verse is that God is here in our midst. He's in our hearts. He's here in this gathering. He's joyous that we know him, but he's sold out on drawing us back to himself. In John 10:10, Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd. We did a series recently on the I am statements that Jesus makes. He says, I am the Good Shepherd. And he's talking to the Jewish people right now. And he's saying that your leaders have actually led you astray. They didn't actually care about you like authentic shepherds did. They're like hired help. They come and they look after you, but when push comes to shove and things get dangerous, when one wanders off, they go, there's wolves out there, I'm not going after them. I haven't packed enough water for the journey, I'm not going after them. They've done that on their own, I'm not going after them. But Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The good news, guys, is that we've got Jesus. Jesus is this good shepherd that goes after the one. And he does that through laying his life down on the cross for us. God cares so much about you and I that he's actually entered humanity in the form of a person, taken on flesh and blood, and said, I will do whatever it takes to win them back. Even if it means laying down my life. Jesus Christ does that for us. He cares so much for us that he laid down his life for us. So that when we stray, Christ is laying down his life as the good shepherd every single time. He didn't leave us far off, but he pursues us in the form of a good shepherd coming to find his sheep. If we could just skip ahead to the next slide and put the heading up as well. Where does that leave us? This is a photo of my brother-in-law's farm. This is one of those farms that takes you an hour to ride from one side of it to the other. And it's something that I just love doing every time I get up there, that we meet the family and everything. Next day I wake up, get my boots on, get the jacket on, get the helmet on, I jump on the motorbike and I just go. I go exploring, I go tracking all over the place, having fun, jumping things. It's so much fun. And after 2 or 3 years of visiting the farm, I thought I knew the place pretty well. And so one morning I go for a ride, go past out that gate, turn left, go past the white bucket, 3 turns up, you hang a right at the dead tree. A couple more turns up, I remember you turn second left, or is it the third left? I don't know, there's a dam coming up here somewhere, it's around here. And wait a minute, I think I've got, this looks familiar, I don't remember Brad getting a couple of new silos just there. And I don't know where I am. I neglected to say it's about 40 degrees on this day and I hadn't taken any water with me. But I thought, you know what, if I just keep driving, this track will lead somewhere. And so 45 minutes in, not really equipped with a great sense of self-preservation, I just keep going. And I'm actually starting to realize that I'm hopelessly lost. I've taken far too many tracks left and right, and I've just left myself absolutely not knowing where I am. I was so fortunate to stumble across the next door neighbor's farm and think, I hope someone's home. And as I pulled up, these guys come out to meet me. You know what they did? They met me and they said, man, you're crazy. Have a glass of water. And they got on the two-way and phoned ahead and got my brother-in-law to come out and meet me and take me back home. Encounter Church, we are that farm on the hill. God is the pursuing God. He will go after, he will leave the 99 and go after the one. But we have a responsibility to play in all of this. We're that farmstead where we give a fellow traveler a glass of water and directions. So when you see someone going astray, as I said before, draw them in, give them a glass of water. The glass of water isn't a rebuke, although sometimes it is. The glass of water is loving and caring and concerning friends who will sit with people through hard times, through difficult moments in their life, through areas where we recognize that they stray and they're struggling with, and we will sit with them and we will care for them and we will love them like Jesus loved them. But guys, that means laying down our lives as well. And that's a really difficult thing, because walking across to a friend and saying, hey, I see that you're struggling right now, isn't always comfortable. But it's offering them a glass of water. We've gone a little bit over because of the time, because of the issues we had this morning. But I want to leave you with that thought. God loves each and every one of us so much that he's willing to lay down his life for us, like I was willing to take a jump off that pier in the hope that I would find Amelia. He cares for us so intimately that he will put himself in situations like going to Calvary that literally ended his life in pain and suffering. And our call as Christians, as fellow believers, as walkers on this journey, is to do the same, model Jesus, and to be that friend to their lost sheep. Can I pray for us this morning as the band comes up? Father God, I thank you for the fact that you're a pursuing God. You're a God that never leaves us or forsakes us. You're a God that leaves the 99 and goes after the one. And so I pray, God, this morning, if we've given up on some friends thinking that they once walked with you, but now that they live a whole different life, I pray that you would help us to extend a glass of water, God. I pray that you would help us to reach back into their lives and into their circumstances, God, and to just be Christ to them in their circumstances, Lord, in their situations. Father God, I pray that you would, your Holy Spirit would be guiding our conversations, guiding our actions, God, so that we as a church here at Encounter, as individuals here, would constantly be looking to how we can care for the lost, care for those that have strayed. Because we long for them to be in your presence in eternity, God. Amen.
Thank you, Troy, for that really good word this morning. Let's stand, and as we leave this space in here, we're just going to sing about this love that never fails, that never gives up on us. Higher than the mountains that I face, stronger than the power of the grave, constant in the trial and the change, this one thing remains, one thing. Trial and the change, this one thing remains, one thing remains, your love never never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love. On and on and on and on it goes. It all